Saudi had their homecoming this morning and early afternoon service, so some folks have come down here from Saudi, and you might be wondering why David's not here. David's in a meeting in Charleston, South Carolina. Gloria just told me, I think Jack told her, David called me the other day and said, what's the best way down there? I-20 over and then I-26 down, or come this back road? I said, the back road is probably not the best way, but I didn't think about all the people going back to Florida. What did you say it was? He got there at 10:30 last night? I know they were tired and wore out, but that's David's in Charleston for a meeting and will not be back until Thursday. And in his place, we have asked Jimmy Aaron to come and speak for us. Now, Brother Aaron preaches for a congregation in Louisville, Georgia. It's southwest of Augusta, about an hour. He's been down there for quite some time. He and I met years ago when we were both working at the Savannah River site. Became good friends. Him and Sheila and Gloria and I have been associated with one another for a long time. He's our speaker tonight. So those of you who are, Shirley, was it a hard trip back up? Good. But those of you who are visiting, that's why we have a visiting speaker. But I think you'll hear a good message anyway. Jimmy, thank you.
Good evening. I want to thank those of you who chose to come back. You were here this morning and you came back for another dose, so that's all I can say for you. You're brave. You're brave. You're courageous warriors. That's great. Won't keep you too long this evening. I was told by several people that I didn't keep you long enough this morning. But I won't call any names, Sister Hicks. I didn't mean to call any names. But it's a privilege to be here. It's a blessing and a privilege to be able to come out and to speak to such a large audience. I was thinking in my mind, I haven't preached to as many people who were here this morning as who were here now. Probably over 20 some odd years when I preached quite often at a church at Richmond Hill Road Church of Christ in Augusta, Georgia. I would fill in some time for Brother Kevin Ellis when he would be out. And so I love this. I love the idea of having an audience in Louisville. You know, it's a good crowd is about 25. So that's great. This is a lot more than 25. But we're glad to have you here. I thought this evening we'd talk just for a few moments about one of my heroes of the Bible. I sent Gloria and Art a copy of the bulletin that we print there in Louisville. And about a year ago, we started doing a series of lessons through that bulletin on different characters in the Bible. And we haven't gotten to this character yet, but he's one of my favorites. And his name is Cornelius. You know, Cornelius the soldier, the centurion. A lot of you probably know about him. And so if you would like to, you can turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 10. And we'll look at a few verses there in Acts chapter 10 and maybe one or two verses in Acts chapter 11. And then this evening lesson will be yours. But I like Cornelius. You know, up until the point of Cornelius, the understanding I have is that no Gentile had obeyed the gospel. All those who had been converted prior to this were Jews or either proselytes, but no Gentiles. And so here we have the first Gentile convert. The gospel had spread throughout Judea, Galatia, and other places, but yet still no Gentile convert. So with the conversion of Cornelius, the first Gentile is saved. This conversion is not just noted because of him being a Gentile, but because of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that fell that day upon Cornelius and his household. Now we won't get into that. We'll save that for the elders to discuss with you and David and other teachers. You can debate why the Holy Spirit fell on this man prior to baptism or what have you. But I have some points, about five maybe, that I would like to make to you about Cornelius and why I find him such an outstanding character to study. Listen as I read verse 1 and 2 of this 10th chapter of the book of Acts. The Bible reads, "There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band." Notice these points here about him in verse 2. "A devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and pray to God always. You know, I love Cornelius because he was a benevolent man. You know, we sometimes forget the importance of being nice to people, kind to people. The Lord's people, I know, are showing a lot of out love and outpouring of love to those in the Houston area and Louisiana and now Florida and South Carolina and maybe along the coasts of Alabama and other places. It's amazing the opportunities that God presents to us to show just how much we love and care about each other. I like this about this man here. He was pious. He was devout. He was a man that prayed to God. But then he was a man who, I like to say, the rubber met the road. He gave of himself. Now, what's so important to me is Cornelius, as we said earlier, was not a Jew. But when the Jews were in need, who did they turn to? This man, Cornelius. So point one, Cornelius is a benevolent soul. He's a kind-hearted person. Let's go a little further. I'm going to read it to you here in verses 5 through verse 8. It reads this way. And now send unto Joppa and call for one Simon whose surname is Peter. He lodged with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants, a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. Point two, Cornelius was obedient. He was obedient. When the angel told Cornelius what to do, that's what Cornelius did. Boy, if we were just obedient like that. You know, a lot of us know what God wants us to do, but we just don't want to do it. Are we just too lazy? Are we too busy? Things just seem to crowd out the instructions. But not for Cornelius. This devout man was very obedient. What God's angel told him to do, that's just what Cornelius did. Let's skip down to verse number 24. Acts 10:24 reads this way. And the morrow, after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and called, and had called all together of his kinmen and dear friends, or near friends. Let me read that one again. And the morrow, after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. Cornelius was a spiritual warrior. Well, Jimmy, he's not even a convert. Well, he isn't, but I just want you to get the picture. This is a man who just didn't want to keep the gospel for himself. Notice when you read verse 24 what Cornelius did. Once again, Cornelius called together his kinsmen. Do we do that? I think this is a great thing to learn from Cornelius. I told a brother once, I think it was Brother Eastman, I think one of the biggest neglects that we as Christians have is we neglect our family. We neglect our family. There are a lot of people in your family, your cousins and your in-laws and outlaws, your uncles and aunts and nieces and nephews. There are a lot of people in your family who might not listen to anybody but you. But you. Cornelius called his kinsmen together to hear the word of God. It was important to him. I think that we as Christians should become priests in our various households. We should develop that mindset, having a priesthood mindset. I'm going to make sure that my family follows the Lord. I can't help but think about it. I want to ask you to turn to this passage. But I can't help but think about that passage to think about Joshua in Joshua 24 and 15. When Joshua says so proudly, "As for me and my household." Wouldn't it be a joy if all of us could speak that way? Me and my family, we're going to serve the Lord. Everyone has to make a decision. Cornelius made the decision to become a spiritual worker even before he became a true convert. He wanted to obey God, and he wanted his family to obey God as well. But just not his family, his friends, his dear friends. I often tell the people in Louisville, do you really love your friends? Man, if you love your friends, why aren't you telling them about Jesus? You tell them about everything else. For some of us, we probably hung our head, on yesterday evening or this morning as we talked to our friends, and we told them about the loss of Tennessee in the football game. For others, you Alabama fans, you, what was that? I saw that. you Alabama fans, you probably were rah, rah, rah. Well, you, after all, you were playing a high school football team. no harm intended. You did win against that high school football team. But I think that we can talk about our dear friends about everything, but we sometimes neglect to talk to them about what's important. God's word. God, we can lean across the fence. I once asked a person in Louisville, I said, when's the last time you talked to your neighbor about Jesus, about the church, about anything concerning salvation? And this young lady admitted, I just hadn't done it. Just hadn't gotten. And this is your friend. If these people are truly our friends, why aren't we sharing the gospel with them? If you're quiet and you're too laid back, there's someone here. You call Joel. He'll talk to him. He'll share the gospel with them. Call Art. Call one of the brethren here, or sisters here, who you know teach Bible class or what have you. It's important that we learn from Cornelius that not only was he benevolent, not only was he obedient, but he was a spiritual worker. Now, I really love this next point about Cornelius. Let's turn to verse 33. I want to read into you here in verses 33 and maybe verse 34 as well. Let's start at verse 32. Listen closely here. This is Acts 10, verse 32. Send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth in the house of one Simon a tanner by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to him, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of person. Now, I love this about Cornelius. God is not a respecter of persons. He looked upon Cornelius and he saw a Gentile and he said, you know what? That's going to be the first Gentile convert. He's going to be the first to obey the gospel. What do you see when you see someone who's not what you are? When you see someone who's not as rich, you see someone who may be a little richer. When you see someone of a different color, what do you see? Do you see an opportunity? Or do you say to yourself, nah, he won't obey the gospel. It's not for him. He won't feel comfortable there where I'm at. And she won't come. We don't dress the way she dresses. She wouldn't like us. God didn't see any of that in Cornelius. He only saw a person. We've already learned was a devout person. In you and our daily lives, we meet a lot of people who are very religious. Let's cut to the chase. Cornelius was a lost man. Now, a lot of brethren might disagree with that statement, but he was. He was not saved at this point. He was a lost man. That's just a simple fact of the matter. He was devout. He was pious as could be. He was generous to a fault. He prayed often. But he was not saved. He was not saved. We have a lot of friends who are that way. They're pious. I've got some of the greatest friends in the world who are not Christians. They're great guys. They're great people. They're kind. I love being around them. I love talking to them about football, basketball, politics, history. But I love sharing the gospel with them more than anything. They're not saved. We have a lot of friends like that, as I said earlier. You have friends who are good people, but they're just not saved. Don't fall into thinking, and I want you to hear this very clearly. Don't fall into thinking that just because they're good, that God is going to save them. That's not how it works. Good people, just good people, period, don't get to go to heaven and stay with God. That's not how it works. Look closely at the 11th chapter, verse number 14. Listen closely here as I read these verses and pay special attention to them. This is Acts chapter 11, verse number 14, and it reads this way. Who shall teach thee words? This is the connection from what we just read over here in Acts 10. He says, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved? Now, according to Romans 1 and 16, we won't have to turn it. Now, I just want to. The Bible says that the gospel saves people. Peter came and he shared the gospel, not gossip. He didn't talk about the football game. What football game? He didn't talk about whatever they were playing back then. He talked about Jesus. And Cornelius was willing to do all the things that Peter told him to do. How about you and I? Let's just take a self-examination. Are we just like Cornelius? I love this about Cornelius. Cornelius, the Bible says, was willing to do all the things. Cornelius could have been like some of our friends. Look, when you talk to people about the gospel and you want to teach them about Jesus and his one church, the Church of Christ, a lot of them immediately, we had a young lady, I was sharing this with Art earlier, we had a young lady came and visited with us 2 weeks ago. Everything was going well. We were enjoying the fellowship. She sat through the Bible study, if I remember correctly, then the worship service. We talked to her. And you know, when there's only about 23, 24, 5 people there, when you get visitors, you pounce on them. And, you know, I went back in the back and got me some correspondence courses, those the 8-lesson courses. You know, some of you are probably familiar with them. And I gave her 1 and 2. And I gave the person who brought her there, Brother Jamal, I gave him lessons 3 through 8 and said, he'll be your contact. You guys work together. But I got a sense, I got a feeling that she was not interested in it. I think one thing turned her off. That salvation is only found in one place. And that place is the Church of Christ. Christ Church. That's the only place it's found. There's no place else. I'm sorry. That's it. A lot of folk won't accept that. When I talked to Jamal on the next week, he broke the news to me that I already feared. He said, well, she got kind of turned off by that thing about there being only one church. He said he talked to her, he pleaded with her, he tried to get her to understand, but that just kind of turned off, that one church idea. Hey, some of your friends will be turned off as well. But then you'll do what we talked about doing this morning. You'll go and you'll invite someone else. You'll ask another friend and another friend until someone you meet would obey the gospel. Cornelius was a kind soul. He was very benevolent. He was very obedient. He was a great worker. Even before becoming a Christian, he was very receptive to the word of God. And he did what he was told to do. How about you and I? Let's remember the clarion call that has been given to us, to go everywhere and to preach the gospel to every creature. This evening, if you're here and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, we would encourage you to be baptized into the body of Christ. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you're willing to repent of your sins and confess faith in Christ with your mouth, we will assist you in baptizing you into the body of Christ. That baptism will wash away your sins, just as it did for the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 22 and verse number 16. That baptism will save you, just as it did for those who Peter talks about or writes about in 1 Peter 3 and 21. After hearing, believing, repenting, and confessing and being baptized into Christ, God demands that we be faithful. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6. For without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek after him. If you're here this evening and you've been seeking God, you found God. Will you please come as we stand and sing the song?